Cynthia Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
A great God. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto us all good things. I present to you our Bible teacher for tonight, Reverend Robert Mays. Come on, put your hands together and receive him as he comes.
Praise the Lord. How many of you are excited about serving a God that is good? Amen. I mean, he is a good God, an excellent God, an awesome God. Hallelujah. One who doesn't slack on his promises, amen? Why don't you just take a moment and just lift your hands in the presence of the Lord and just love on him a little bit. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you and adore you, and we magnify your name, oh God, for you're worthy of glory and honor. You're worthy of praise, oh God. And we love you, we worship you, we adore you. We bless your holy and wonderful name, God. How awesome and mighty you are. How tremendous, Lord God. How great are the works of your hands, God. You and you alone are God. And beside you there is no other, Lord God. You are the only wise God. And we lift you up and we magnify your name, God. We give you first place in our hearts and in our minds, Father God. You have preeminence in our lives, God. And we glorify you. We lift you up and magnify your name. How wonderful you are, Lord Jesus. It is so awesome just to stand in your presence and lift our hands before you, Lord God, in the presence of the Lord. We give glory and honor to you, God, because your loving kindness is better than life, and we magnify your holy and wonderful name. Great is your name, Jesus, and greatly to be praised, God. We adore you. We lift you up and magnify your name. How wonderful you are, Lord God. How awesome you are, Jesus. How tremendous are your works, oh God. And we love you, Jesus. We just want to say, Lord God, our affections are towards you right now, oh God. And we love you, we worship you, and we adore you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God, that as we come and gather around your word, we thank you, Lord God, that you clear our minds and our hearts, Father God. Give us the ability to hear and receive exactly what you would have us to know on tonight, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that we all submit ourselves to you, Father God. Think through our mind and speak through our vocal cords, Father God. Give us a word in due season, Father God. We have right now complete and absolute dependence upon you, Lord God. We're depending upon you for everything, Lord God. All that we need, all that we seek after, all that we desire, Father God. All our protection, Lord God. We have complete and absolute dependence upon you, Lord God. We thank you for it, God. We give glory, honor, and praise for it, Lord God. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We acknowledge his presence right now, who is our teacher. who is here to teach us and give us instruction and wisdom and counsel. We submit to you right now, Lord God. Great is your name and greatly to be praised. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you, and we give glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is good. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody said he's so good. What you say? Campbell soup ain't got nothing on him, huh? He's good. Glory. Well, we want to, hopefully we'll be able to finish this lesson that we started a few weeks ago, called Be Clothed with Humility. And this is, you know, for purposes of the title on the tape, this will be part three of Be Clothed with Humility, amen? And I think it's part three, right? Be clothed with humility. Yeah. And so just as a little review, we said that true humility is having complete and absolute dependence upon God. Amen. It's not all of the things that I was taught and that I thought humility was. Because I thought that you just had to degrade yourself in order to walk in humility. Amen. You had, you know, being humble was, you know, you just thought of yourself as not too much and as some sinful being and what have you, but that's not true humility at all. True humility is having complete and absolute dependence upon God. And we have to get that in our spirit, amen? Not just in our head, but in our spirit, because once we get it in our spirit, we'll begin to operate with that type of mentality. And when we begin to operate with that type of mentality, it assures our relationship with God in a special way, amen? Because if we have incorrect information, number one, about God and about ourselves, then it will cut the line of our connection, if you will. You understand what I'm saying, huh? We cannot properly identify ourselves. We cannot properly identify Him, and it will make us to not know the things that we need to know about Him. For example, if I don't understand that God is my deliverer, then I can't trust Him to deliver me. If I don't understand that God is my provider, then I can't trust Him to provide for me. If I don't understand that I am the righteousness of God, then I still can't trust God to provide for me or to do anything for me, because if I think of myself as unworthy, as filthy rags and a sinful being, all of these things, then I won't have the boldness, like the Bible says, to go into the presence of the Lord to ask whatever it is that I want. And then it would strip my faith, because in my mind, I'm undeserving anyway, you see? And if in my mind I'm undeserving, then you know, I'm not going to have any confidence that God is going to answer me, amen? If I have done you wrong and I need a favor from you, a big favor from you, and I come to you and ask you for a favor, and I know that I have done you wrong, then I'm going to come to you, you know, and probably, you know, just in my mind, I'll be saying, I know they ain't going to do it for me. I know she ain't going to do it for me. I know, because I was just so mean and so bad, and I just won't have any confidence about coming to her to ask her for anything. Why? Because my mentality is messed up in thinking that I'm still in offense with her. Amen? But according to the Word of God, we're not in offense with Him. Amen? We're not in offense with Him. God, He extends His grace toward us, and once we ask Him for forgiveness for whatever, the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our unrighteousness, to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen? And so, we have to get the correct concept of what humility is in order to be able to walk in true humility, and in order to be able to live a productive life and have a good, real good connection and relationship with God. It's hard to have a relationship with somebody that you are in offense with. Amen? It's hard to have a good relationship with somebody that you are in offense with. Amen? Because you don't believe that, just like I said before, you don't believe that that person has forgiven you and that thing, that you're free from that thing. You're still thinking that you owe them something. Amen? And as long as you keep thinking that you owe them something or keep feeling like you owe them something, then that relationship is going to be kind of marred. Now, back to, we're going to pick up where we left off, and we left off talking about the cost of not being humble. You remember that last time, those of you who were here last week, we were talking about the cost of not being humble, and we read Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 through 19, and Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. Those were the two last scriptures that we read when we were last here. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the benefit of humility, and we're not going to stay there too long because we really have already talked about that. It's really just the Bible repeating itself, if you will. Amen? And so, in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33, And it's good to have something established in the mouth of two or three. And so it's good to see all of these scriptures. And you see how often God says this in his word. And if he says it this often, then there must be something really, really significant about it. Amen? There must be something really significant about it because he says this quite a bit, particularly in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 15 and 33. I have here in my notes the New International Version, Proverbs 15 and 23. Are you there? 1533, I'm sorry. 1533. Amen, amen. It says, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. The fear of the Lord teaches a man, that word fear means reverence and respect, amen. Reverence and respect for the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Notice the place of humility here. It comes before honor. Honor will come after humility. After your complete and absolute dependence upon God, then you can walk in a place of honor. Amen? But honor does not come before that. Honor comes after that. Amen? And so, while we in our fleshly nature try to attain to certain statuses and try to attain to certain things that will bring us status, like knowledge, money, and all of these things, we try to attain to certain things that will bring us these things. If we just come to a place where we have complete and absolute dependence upon God, then God will deliver those things to us, if you will. Amen? But we can try and work on our own to get these things, and usually they're just not that fulfilling when we've even worked them out on our own. Amen? And they're really not sustainable when you've worked them out on your own. In other words, you know, it may last for a while. You see? But if you're somebody who have absolute and complete dependence upon God, even if something comes against you that tries to knock you out of that place of honor, you will not be utterly cast down. You will be in the hands of God, and God will ultimately lift you back up and raise you probably even higher than what you were before. Amen? Because that's the kind of God we serve, and his word will back it up. Amen? So if we try and do all of these things to whatever we can do, and I'm not saying don't work hard at whatever it is that you work hard at. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't go to school and study. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't aspire to provide for yourself and for your family the best you can. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, while you're pursuing all of these things, have, number one, complete and absolute dependence upon God. Do you know that most of us waste a lot of time doing things outside of our purpose? because we don't have complete and absolute dependence upon God. Most of us will spend a greater part of our life doing something that does not attain to the reason that God put us here. And we'll wonder why, you know, it is not quite as fulfilling as you want. You know, you get some satisfaction from these little victories and stuff that come your way, but ultimately it's not quite as fulfilling as you think it should be or as you want it to be. And the reason that it's not is because you're spending your time, a lot of time, working outside of your purpose. But if I have complete and absolute dependence upon God, then I have a connection with God. Well, God will eventually reveal to me what my purpose is. Amen? Now, if I had known more about my purpose when I came out of high school and gone into college, I would probably be a lot in a different status or whatever than I am now. Be a lot more ahead of where I am now, if I had known. Amen? But I spent plenty of time in college studying a subject that was not leading me to my purpose. Amen? I spent plenty of time, and this is, you know, for those of you who are parents and have kids in school, if you can teach them this at an early age, you probably save yourself a lot of money, because they'll go to school and change their major every 6 months or so, trying to figure out where they fit in and where they're supposed to be. Amen? But if they can learn to have a connection with God at an early age, whereas God will reveal to them what their purpose was. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old and he was, and they had traveled to pay their taxes, and then when they left, they had gone about 3 days or so, and they figured out that Jesus was not there with them. And so they went back and looked for him and what have you. When they found him, and his mama kind of got on his case a little bit and said, "Jesus, what are you doing? We were worried about you." I'm paraphrasing. "We were worried about you and all of this stuff." And he said, "I must be about my Father's business." You see that? So at 12 years old, he knew, and he was a person just like we are. He was in a fleshly body, just like you and I. But he knew at 12 years old, he knew that he had a purpose in life, and he knew what that purpose was. And so at the time that he come, when the fullness of time had come, when he had come to a place of maturity, when it's time for his ministry to start, there was really no time wasted. Why? Because he knew what his purpose is. He knew what his purpose was. And if you look at that particular scripture where he quoted that next verse says that he grew in stature and in the wisdom of God. Amen? Well, why did he grow in stature and the wisdom of God? Well, he knew what his purpose was. He knew that he had to study the scriptures. Amen? He knew that he had to prepare himself for this priesthood, if you will, that he was to embark upon. Amen? And so, and even if your purpose end up being revealing that it does not have anything to do with you in ministry, there's still something God can lead you into a place so that you know exactly what your purpose is, and then whatever you study, you know, you can study accounting and still fall within the purpose for which God placed you here. You can study nursing and still fall within the purpose for which God placed you here. Amen. You can study education and still fall within the purpose of what God placed you here. Amen. And so if you have complete and absolute dependence upon God, then you come to that place where God reveals to you exactly what your purpose is, and you'll waste fewer years doing nothing or striving in the wrong area, working in the wrong area. Amen. And so how many of you have come to realize that time can be pretty valuable? Amen. And if you can reverse some of the areas and places where you wasted time, you turn back the hand of time and see if you can fix some of that stuff. Amen. Because if you knew then what you knew now. So in Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Humility comes before honor. So if we want to get to a place where we have real, true honor, then we're going to walk in humility first. Amen? Now, in Proverbs 18:12, again, it says about the same thing, but let's go ahead and turn there and read it anyway. Proverbs 18:12. Amen? And the good thing about hearing some of these things over and over again, just like I said last week, is it gets them in your spirit and not just in your head. And we see it in Scripture. Proverbs 18:12, it says, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. Before his downfall, his heart is proud. But humility comes before honor. We see it stated again. Humility comes before honor. Humility comes before honor. Now, let's go on from there, and let's look at another scripture in Colossians chapter 2. And in this scripture, we want to look at false humility. Amen? And in Colossians chapter 2, he kind of lays some things out for us, and some of you may be able to identify some of this false humility, and maybe some of it you didn't know was really false humility, but the scripture may help you to identify some of it, and even to identify some within, you know, maybe you've done some of this sometime. And so if I can, well, I was going to get a volunteer to read for me, but that Mike has decided that it's not going to cooperate. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 18, Colossians 2 and 18, and we're going to read 18 through 23. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, I wanted to read that from the King James Version, because that's what most of you have, but let me read it to you from the New International Version. I think it'll kind of help us to see it, you know, better what's going on. It says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Don't let anyone who walks in false humility disqualify you for the prize. Because, you know, it the walking in false humility, you know, it can disqualify you. Why? Because number one, it's false. You see, it's false. It's not real. And of course, you know, God recognizes what comes from him and what doesn't come from him. Amen. He'll know. And so, and then pretty soon it'll show on whoever it is who's walking in false humility. So if such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Goes into great detail about what he is, kind of bragging about himself, if you will, about the things he's seen and what have you. Verse 19, he has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. It says he has lost connection with the head. And if this person who is walking in false humility has lost connection with the head, then obviously he doesn't have absolute and complete dependence upon him. Amen? And if you have lost connection with the head, guess what? A body walking around without a head is a freak. Amen? And it has no government, because your brain is the government center for your body. And if your body is walking around without a head, it doesn't have a government. And that body is just strangely doing it, you know, it's just going to do everything that it wants to do. And it's going to feel like it has no rule and no boundaries and no control. Amen? Why? Because it's walking around without a head. Amen? But if a body has a head as a control center, a good head as a control center, then your head is going to control whatever your body is doing. Amen? Because that signal is going to come from your brain, and it's going to go to your hands and say, lift your hands. Your signal is going to go to your feet, and it's going to say, left foot forward, right foot forward, left foot forward, right foot forward. It's going to say, turn left, turn right. But if you connect it from the head, then you have none of that going on. Why? There's no signal. There's no connection. There's no instruction that can come from the head. And so if you're disconnected from God, who is our head, if you're disconnected from Jesus Christ, then there's nothing going on. You just loose and wild out here doing whatever it is that you want to do. Amen? And have no control. And you wonder why there's no control in maybe not your life, but in the life of certain people. You see? The sinners don't have any other choice but to sin. They disconnected from the head. Amen? That's what they're going to do. That's just what they do. And so we have to be connected to the head, and it seems here that false humility will disconnect you from the head. So we don't want to walk in that, amen? Amen. Now where did I stop? 19, he has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. You will grow as God calls you to grow. Why? Because you're connected with the head. Amen? But in false humility, you know, that won't happen. You see? It seems to me that false humility can stifle your growth. Why? Well, if you think you know everything, then you can't be taught anything. Amen? The Holy Spirit can't even teach you anything if you think you know everything. And if the Holy Spirit can't teach you anything, then, or if you just can't be taught anything, period, then you can just forget about growing in whatever capacity. Amen? And verse 20 says, since you died with Christ, those of us who are born again, since we died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. In other words, this person who walks in false humility, what they will do is they will impose a bunch of rules and regulations upon you and try to get you to follow their rules and regulations, and in their mind think that they're imposing humility upon you, and that's not the truth. Amen? And so you have people like the Pharisees who were strict keepers of the law. Amen? They watched the law. Well, they watched the people under the law, if you will. And so they try to say, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do this. Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath? And all of this stuff. And they watching over all of these rules and all of these regulations and trying to make somebody be in humility, and that didn't have anything to do with being in humility. Amen? Now, incidentally, the man who picked up his bed and walked, and they asked him why was he toting his bed on the Sabbath, that man had just been healed by Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he had made him a connection with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so had gotten instructions to take up his bed and walk. Amen? And so, but these self-righteous Pharisees wanted to charge him and say, "What, you know, why are you taking up this bed and walking on the Sabbath day? What are you doing?" You see, they was trying to bring a bunch of false humility upon him.